I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. Mark Reardon.
You know, politicians want to force you to cover your face as a way for them to cover their own asses.
Mark Reardon.
Does the president not know what's going on?
I don't care if you think I'm Satan reincarnated.
The Mark Reardon Show is on now.
Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Sue Thomas just walking in to the studio as we start the show. Looking very nice today, by the way. I have noticed
Thank you. Didn't take long to notice that.
You had an event, is what I understand, right?
Yes.
I think you might have told me about that yesterday, and then I just forgot about it.
Yeah, I did. But here's the good news. They gave me a gift. It was a SCORE event. They fund small businesses. It's a nonprofit in the St. Louis area that helps people who want to start small businesses, teach them how to do it. I met Maxine Clark today, who
Build-A-Bear.
Was the founder of Build-A-Bear, right. And I interviewed her for a while.
They hardly had any success that company, did they?
And she was talking, and these people were just, she captures a room. She's only about 4'1", and she's just so engaging, and her story is amazing. And so people were really focused on that. Anyway, they gave me a gift of chocolate, so I brought it to you people.
Oh, that is wonderful. I love to hear that, because Sue does not eat sugar and sweets, so bonus, right?
Yep.
By the way, have you ever had the pleasure, Sue, because you don't have children, but have you had the pleasure of getting stuck in a Build-A-Bear store for like 45 minutes while there's a huge long line and you're trying to get some stuffing in an overpriced animal?
No, I have not.
It's one of the joys of parenthood, Sue. What can I tell you?
Mark, there are like hundreds of them now throughout the world. I mean, she really kicked off a thing, and it started in St. Louis.
The thing that I didn't realize about Build-A-Bear is, like, in my mind, it was always, oh, you go in there, you build a bear, you come out with your bear. But they have all the clothing and the accessories and all that stuff. That's, by the way, brilliant, Maxine Clark. Brilliant business strategy. But it took me, you know, until Alexa was born, really, to have to sacrifice and go into these things to understand the entire business model.
It's genius, and she got the idea from a kid, so I could go on.
Awesome. All right, so I'm gonna start here just a little differently than I even planned, just because someone hit me on the X, formerly Twitter, with a video here that I just tweeted out, and it's kind of stunning, and I want to guide people into that. You can follow at Mark Reardon KFTK. By the way, Elon got some of my money today, Sue.
What?
Well, because I was trying
to buy a truck. You did, didn't you?
No, not that way. I hate those things. No, I was trying to tweet something out here, and it was this guy that's in Colorado, Mark Robinson, and he had this activist that came up to him and said, your legislation would do this, and he responded in a brilliant way. So I start to bang out this, this X, this tweet about it, and I was hitting the limit, right? And of course, when you hit the limit, then it says, hey, would you like to upgrade to premium? And I'm like, yeah, you know what? I got 2 minutes before I have to get in the studio. So it's $42.
Are you kidding?
For the year.
I saw a thing yesterday that was 40% off. Is that gone? Because
I
almost
did
it yesterday.
But they got me here. It was either $4 a month or 42. I just paid the 42. But I think, I don't know that that gets me like the blue. I used to have a blue check mark. And then I was stripped of my blue check mark when I changed my handle from Mark Reardon KMOX to Mark Reardon KFTK. When I came over here from KMOX, then they took my blue check mark away. I felt very hurt by that.
So, or did you?
I didn't really care. Yeah. You know, I didn't care as much because everyone got their blue check mark, you know, removed at some point. Mine was removed because of the change. They do that sometimes. And then I actually tried to, this was so weird. I sent stuff to them and I showed them my bio page and they thought that I still was impersonating myself. I'm like, what the hell do you guys want? So then I gave up on it. But what I have now, I think, for this is, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to use this for a couple of days and I'm going to get another. Upgrade to Premium Plus so you get your blue check mark, right? But in this way, I just get more characters. But here's what I just got sent by a listener named Joe.
Okay.
Joe Tyler sent this. He's at Joe Tyler STL. Look at my Twitter page right now. I just posted this video. He has a video of himself walking his dog in Soulard this morning. He's in a wheelchair. His tweet to me said, "This morning I was walking my dog in Soulard. I'm the one in the wheelchair, and a car without plates plowed into me as I was in the crosswalk." I don't want to minimize what happened here. I wouldn't say, well, maybe I would say plow, but you see this car is making a right-hand turn, and it's right at Russell and 12th at the intersection. There's a security camera that catches this. So the person has a green light but does not have the right-of-way because the dude in the wheelchair with his dog is in the intersection, and he turns and he flips him over. You can see the guy's on the ground.
Oh.
Luckily, his dog was okay. He's in the hospital right now, he said. And he says he's okay, but he's at the hospital. And that's stunning, really. And so that kind of comes on the heels. What I was tweeting about earlier today was something related to Soulard. And there was a, let me see if I can find this, because I've apparently tweeted quite a bit today. But there was a post from Fox, I think. Now, why the hell I can't even find this? I just paid for the damn premium and I can't find my tweet from earlier today. But there was a tweet about here it is. Soulard residents say unhoused leaving trash, debris, and alleys behind homes. So it was a Fox 2 story about what was happening in Soulard, and they had a picture of all this trash just strewn everywhere. And my response was, why wouldn't they leave trash? Because we have a St. Louis Board of Aldermen, Megan Green, the president of the Board of Aldermen, that puts the rights of the homeless far above the rights of taxpaying citizens. I mean, it's not even close. They were going to pass an unhoused bill of rights. They don't care about trash being strewn everywhere from people who are taxpayers, so why the hell wouldn't they do that? So here we are a few minutes into the show, and I have not mentioned Brett Baer in the interview from last night. We aired it live. We had some reaction afterward. So I think it was fresh reaction because
it was.
The interview had just happened. I want to play a little bit more reaction today. We got a bunch of people that are going to jump in on us here this afternoon, including Dwayne Patterson, who writes at hotair.com, and he has the Dwayne Worlds podcast. He has maybe a different take on this than I do. I'll get to that here in a second. Paul Morrow, Fox News contributor, will be with us. We'll talk a little bit about the presidential race and also crime numbers. And I didn't touch on this yesterday, but this whole notion that crime has gone down, which, of course, all the moderators of the networks during debates have tried to put that in Trump's face. Well, actually, you know, crime has gone down. Well, it hasn't, because now they've revised the number, and the numbers have been revised from 2022, and they'll be revised from 2023 as well. And now we know that there's been significant increases, especially on violent crime. But Paul will address that. We have Dave Strom with us this afternoon. And also, this is a little off politics, but Robert Bryce, who's been a guest on the show before, has written about nuclear energy. And this is interesting because some of us have talked about nuclear energy for a long time. And why in the world, when we have this fear over carbon-based energy, which I don't have that fear as much as some people, but I understand that, you know, the climate certainly is changing in some way, shape, or form. I just don't believe we're the cause, and I certainly don't believe we can fix all of it. But you know what would help? Nuclear energy.
And, totally agree. I find this fascinating.
Yeah, and so apparently, and Fred, you were the one that kind of put this on my radar, but you have big companies, Microsoft amongst them,
yeah,
big banks that are jumping on the nuclear energy bandwagon. I think Germany in particular has deep regrets that they got away from nuclear energy, but this will be interesting, and Robert will be with us, plus we have an audio cut of the day. Now, tomorrow's Friday, so we have a Reardon Roundtable. Jane will be here, State Rep Donna Behringer, GOP consultant, and spewer.
Wow.
Just trying to think of the great title for Greg Keller will be here and all the regular stuff tomorrow with Cusimano and Paul Hall. Dan Buff is going to come in the 5 o'clock hour. We're going to talk about the 30th anniversary of Pulp Fiction.
And oh, I love that.
Will be
okay.
Fun. You ever see Garden State, the movie Garden State with Zach Braff?
I don't think so.
Good movie. That's 20-year anniversary, so we might touch on that as well. Okay, after digesting what happened yesterday for, I guess it was about 25 minutes, we aired it live with Brett Baer, I have some further thoughts. Now, it's fascinating to me because I look at the reaction. The live reaction was coming in fast and furious yesterday from many people that I follow on Twitter on the right. And in some cases, this was deemed, and this is where I think Dwayne and I might have a difference of opinion in a few minutes, this was deemed a train wreck for Kamala Harris and a disaster and all these things. And then the people on the right were you know, or the people on the left, there are actually people out there that thought that she did well. And that, you know, Brett did something wrong. Listen to Brian Stelter, this idiot. He's been rehired at CNN, Fred.
I'm seeing him sitting there.
I guess that's what happened. I don't know how that happened, but he was ripping on Brett Baer yesterday. This guy, of all people, that wants to rip on Brett Baer for his journalistic integrity, give me a break.
I think Trump refused to debate Kamala Harris again, so Harris did the next best thing. She booked a debate on Fox News. And that's what this was tonight. She essentially walked into a Trump campaign field office because anchor Brett Baer, who is a solid journalist, he is also incredibly sympathetic to Trump because that's what his fans want. That's what his viewers want. His viewers want him to represent the Trump point of view. So it was almost as if you had a Trump surrogate interviewing Kamala Harris.
Give me a break. It was almost, here, let me phrase this a little differently for you. It was almost, Brian, as if a freaking journalist was sitting with her.
Yep.
You want to talk about a surrogate? Let me name some. Margaret Brennan from CBS News. Nora O'Donnell from CBS News.
Yep.
I can go on down the list. Those are the surrogates for Kamala Harris. They haven't even tried to hide it. This is a group of people, Brian Stelter included, and the whole team at CNN and everywhere in journalism, that never once, over 2.5 years, really 3.5 years, but I'll give them the first year. We didn't know how lost Biden was. For 2.5 years, they never once asked a question about the health of the president, the mental well-being, the cognitive ability of the president. And even last night, she wanted to deny that that was even happening. So I'm going to defend Brett Baer, and he had a unique situation, too. They walked into the interview late. They did that on purpose. And listen to what he said at the end, because they were rushing him through this the whole way. Here's what happened behind the scenes.
We were supposed to start at 5 p.m. This was the time they gave us. Originally, we were going to do 25 or 30 minutes. They came in and said, well, maybe 20. So it was already getting whittled down. And then the vice president showed up about 5:15. I could tell when we started talking that she was going to be tough to redirect without me trying to interrupt.
And I guess that people are criticizing him for interrupting, but she tried to, from the very beginning, he was simply trying to keep her on point with the questions, mm-hmm. and she kept trying to veer.
I think there was a lot of filibustering. She was talking.
Fred. And you knew that's how it was going to go. He either lets her run at the mouth with the word salad, or if he tries to interrupt or just to bring it back to reality, then he's an interrupter and awful. That's a no-win situation.
You know, I'm sitting here thinking, though, there are probably a few people in the audience, Sue, that did not hear the entire interview. Maybe they only heard clips, or maybe they didn't even hear clips. So I've culled this down for people. Bear with me, ladies and gentlemen. This will take just a little bit. It's going to take 15 seconds. Here you go.
Donald Trump.
That was not supposed to happen. That is 100%
accurate.
Oh my God! I actually hit the that sounded maybe like it fit. I wasn't supposed to do that. I had fat fingers there, but that's what she said over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
So to Brian Stelter and the team on CNN, that meant she's tough.
I think at the end of the day, this is all about one word, the word tough. It showed that Harris was tough. She went into the so-called Fox Den, and that's how Harris's campaign's promoting it tonight. They're saying she went into the Fox Den and look what happened.
I don't think it was the disaster that some have tried to portray this as. And what I said yesterday after the interview is I didn't hear anything that you can just, you know, extract from that interview that's going to go on an ad. I mean, she wasn't good. I'm not making the case that she did a good job. But I also don't think in the whole scheme of things that it was as big a disaster as some people are portraying it. And I gave some words of caution going in because sometimes our expectations are pretty high. Now, there were certainly things to kind of focus in on and ask some questions about deeper when it comes to her performance. There's nothing there. We've all kind of known that there's nothing there, but her side doesn't care about that. They really don't. They don't care one bit. All they care about is stopping Trump. So here's Jennings, who was on CNN last night.
She has no answer for why Biden and Harris threw out Donald Trump's executive orders and changed everything, and then a flood of people came in. An ounce of humility here would go a long way, and she doesn't have it in her to do it, and she has no real answer other than to blame Congress. And Brett was right. Democrats controlled everything when they took over. And so is she saying it's the Democrats' fault that the immigration system is broken? I don't understand this. I don't understand why she can't just say, hindsight here, we shouldn't have done it. I think the American people would actually accept it, but she won't do it.
I think I think Scott knows this, he's a political consultant. You do that, and then they're going to put in ads, right? So they're coached to not say things like that. You can never apologize or admit that you're wrong, even though I think it would probably in the end play well, and people might understand it. In her case, they wouldn't, because I think a lot of this really, the more I think about it, And I was talking to some people, including Fred, about this earlier. Look, there's a fair amount of people who just don't like her. And that was Hillary's problem. There was a big likability factor. That's what cost her the election in 2016. And in this case, people don't know her as well as Hillary. Everybody knew Hillary Clinton. They knew it was pretty easy to dislike her because she was a dislikable figure. But Harris is having some issues with African Americans in particular. And again, I'm not making the case that, you know, they're going to all vote for Trump. But there's enough men. You're seeing some numbers with, you know, Hispanic men and African American men. Now, is that misogynistic? I don't know. I had a friend of mine, old roommate of mine in Cleveland. He runs a restaurant. He has Hispanic workers. And he said the male workers that he's working with, they don't like her at all. Now, is that because she's a woman?
I doubt it.
Well, you know, maybe culturally. Look, I'm not going to say that some of this doesn't have to do with some culture. Look, I told you yesterday, there are things that don't get discussed, right? Let's talk about the strong dislike of homosexuality amongst African Americans. Never gets discussed. It's pretty powerful, especially in the churches. It's what led Barack Obama to weigh in so late on that particular topic. But we don't talk about those things, right? Those are kind of kept quiet and they're not discussed. But there are things that bubble underneath the surface, and they're going to resonate here in this election in a couple of weeks. Now, one more thing here before we get to Duane. And I touched on this at the end of the show yesterday. And I'm not trying to say I agree wholeheartedly with him, but I think Mark Halperin made some interesting points on Tucker Carlson's podcast. Mark was a reporter with he was with ABC News. Fred, do you remember who else he might have worked for? Because he's been a veteran journalist for a long time. Well, he's more of a broadcast guy, though. And he had I think he had a Me Too moment. So he's out on his own. He's in the podcast stuff and everything. And he's really the person who probably more accurately than any other political reporter, certainly further than anybody that was on one of the major networks, predicted some of the stuff that happened over the summer with Pelosi, shoving Biden aside, etc. So he goes on Tucker Carlson's podcast and he says, you know, Tucker asked him, well, what's going to happen? What do you think will happen? Because, look, I think the left is starting to worry here. They know that Trump can win this election. So what's going to happen if he wins? Listen to what he said.
Certainly, Donald Trump is doing very well with black voters and Hispanic voters.
Sorry, that's Tim Murtaugh. Let's do the right one here.
I say this not flippantly. I think it will be the cause of the greatest mental health crisis in the history of the country. I think tens of millions of people will question their connection to the nation, their connection to other human beings, their connection to their vision of what their future for them and their children could be like. And I think that will be require an enormous amount of access to mental health professionals. I think it'll lead to trauma in the workplace. I think there'll be some degree of...
Are you being serious?
100% serious. 100% serious.
Wow.
I think there'll be alcoholism. There'll be broken marriages.
What?
Yeah. They think he's the worst person possible to be president. And having won by the hand of Jim Comey and Fluke in 2016 and then performed in office for 4 years and denied who won the election last time and January 6th, the fact that under a fair election, America chose by the rules pre-agreed to, Donald Trump again, I think it will cause the biggest mental health crisis in the history of America. And I don't think it will be kind of a passing thing that by the inauguration will be fine. I think it will be sustained and unprecedented and hideous. And I don't think the country's ready for it.
Well, I'm going to agree with him on part of that. I don't think the country's ready for it. And I think that some of that is a bit hyperbolic, but not all of it.
I don't think so either. And I agree.
Right. And let's offer here's Exhibit A, maybe B and C on The View.
Right. I mean, he wants to send the military to attack liberals if he gets in. I think that to say that he's a fascist is completely accurate. I mean, it does fit the definition. He wants to send the military in to attack his opponents. I mean, what more do you really need to hear?
Well, if they're attacking you, Joy, I don't know. I might be in favor of that. It's all about him being a fascist right now. I mean, there's one big reason that I want him to win, outside of everything else, saving the country, just to see their heads explode. That would be fun, wouldn't it? We're coming back with Duane Patterson. Hang in there.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Just a quick follow-up from the beginning of the show, because I started after a guy by the name of Joe Tyler sent me, or he tagged me in a video from Soulard this morning where he's crossing right at the intersection. Let me see, because this is on. It is Russell and, yeah, what'd you say, Sue? It's Russell and... Russell and 12, thank you. I couldn't read it, even with my reading glasses on. But what I forgot to mention when I was talking about that is what Joe said in his tweet. He said, I'm the one in the wheelchair and a car, I don't know if I mentioned this, I think I did, without plates plowed into me. So this is a car that doesn't have tags or plates, and that tells you something right there. His response was, why are plates no longer a requirement? Well, they're just not. And if there's no plates, they have a tag that's expired for maybe 2 or 3 years, and there's no effort to crack down on that because that's an edict from the mayor and the police department. So it's rather sad. Paul Morrow's coming up in the next hour after Sue's news from Fox News. We have David Strom is also great from Hot Air. He'll be on in the 5 o'clock hour. I mentioned Robert Bryce as well. And then tomorrow we got a big roundtable. Look, there's only three more roundtables, maybe only two for me because I'm off next weekend, and then the election is here. Now, we were getting reaction here, talking about some of the things that happened last night. She got a little angry elf, as I like to say.
May I finish responding, please? But you have to let me finish, please. I'm in the middle of responding to the point you're raising, and I'd like to finish. Yes. But let me just finish.
Ooh, she did get a little testy there. Dwayne Patterson is back with us. He contributes at hotair.com. He also is the host of the Dwayne's World podcast. How are you, Mr. Patterson, this afternoon?
Oh, greetings from Team Optimism. I was in a really good mood when I woke up and got the note from Fred that you guys wanted me on today. And then, of course, I hear your promo that Strom's coming up from Hot Air. So now I don't even feel special anymore.
Oh, I love David, though. He's great. He's been writing about some really interesting stuff we'll get to a little bit later. But look, I think what I said at the monologue here, and I read what you wrote this morning, I don't think it was quite the train wreck disaster that some people are portraying it. Don't get me wrong, Dwayne. Didn't think it was very good on the part of the vice president. I think Brett did great. He did his job. He needed to ask some of those questions. The one miss that I highlighted yesterday, I don't think I mentioned this today, is he gets the trans issue in there right away, but doesn't follow up on the, you know, should biological men play against women in sports? I would have liked to have seen that. Overall, I don't fault Brett Baer. He did his job, and she was kind of what I expected, I think.
I guess to me, the filter I was looking at that interview through is, who was her target audience? If you go to Brian Fallon, who was Hillary Clinton's old campaign guru, Brian Fallon said online that the target was to try to peel off independents and Nikki Haley voters,
right.
Nikki Haley primary Republicans. That's who she was trying to pick off. So you have to ask yourself, did she do that? Did she accomplish that?
No.
If you're a Nikki Haley voter and you're now faced with holding your nose and voting for Trump that you don't like very much, or going for Kamala Harris, did Kamala Harris give you a reason to vote for her?
No, I don't think she did. And I'm still a little confused as to why she did it, although I think it does indicate some concern in states like Michigan, Wisconsin, and maybe Pennsylvania. So, no, I don't think she flipped any voters. You know, I had Kilmeade on yesterday, and one of the things that he said, and there might have been something to this, and you're hearing it in the, you know, the talking points from the left. She wanted to go on there and portray, you know, confidence, if you will. And maybe part of the angry elf was part of her mission, just because she knew it would play well with her side, because it's Fox News. Let's face it. They can say anything they want about Brett and Fox News. You already have Stelter out there, which is hilarious, saying, you know, she was basically interviewed by a surrogate of Trump. No, she was interviewed by someone who decided to ask actual questions, right?
Well, absolutely. And this whole thing about trying to project confidence, everybody on the left, as soon as the interview was over with, treated Twitter or X like it was an online spin room after a debate, right? Oh, we won. Brett was totally unprepared. Oh, she did great. She did marvelous. She did fantastic. Well, that lasted about 12 hours. And then this morning, I don't know if you caught The View this morning. Few people do, because
One clip already from The View. Oh, yeah. Well, he's
so
a fascist.
So Sonny Hostin says that Dana Perino, of all people, Dana Perino is the sweetest woman on the planet, right? Dana Perino is racist for daring to criticize the performance of Kamala Harris. Sarah Haynes said that Bret Baier is sexist because he didn't let her filibuster enough. So, and the capper over on CNN, Van Jones is on. And Van's actually made a point or two that I kind of agree with. I don't agree with his politics.
Every once in a while.
Analysis, yeah, an acorn and a blind squirrel. He'll find one.
Well, and he did. He called it right after the first Biden debate. I mean, I think a lot of us were watching that night, and he was honest at least about that. I didn't hear what he said last night.
So, well, this wasn't last night. This was this morning. This morning, he said that Bret Baier is fundamentally no different than Rachel Maddow is on MSNBC.
Okay, that's ridiculous. That is an unwillingness. He's never watched Bret Baier. There is no way can watch Bret. Bret Baier is so different than anybody else on Fox or on CNN because, again, he does a straight news hour.
Absolutely he does. And so, but my whole point is, for this whole bravado of she can go into harm's way and she's got all the strength and she's confident and she's this, she's that, now all of a sudden that lasted for about 12 hours and everybody on the left is trying to whataboutism and try to justify why it was a disaster.
Well, that's probably, there's a lot to that. And let's kind of push forward to what's going to happen here in a couple of weeks. And you checked in from, what did you say, Department Optimism?
Team Optimism.
Yeah, Team Optimism has been a lot more optimistic than me because I'm the glass half empty guy. But here's what I would say, Dwayne. Going back to mid-August when you had to talk me off the ledge, you know, it was right around the time of the convention. Things looked good for Kamala. The mainstream media was not doing their job. They still aren't. Things were trending well. The polling looked good. You get through September. I know you were still kind of spiking the ball mid-September. But I will say, maybe this is a bad thing because I call these things wrong, it does seem like he's closing strong. It seems like the polling is really freaking out the Democrats because they're not cracking through at levels that they need to. And she can certainly still win this election with a 2 percentage point, maybe 2.5-3 percentage point lead nationally. That's not going to get her the White House electorally.
Absolutely not. And my whole point in all this was I didn't want the media to try to discourage Republicans from voting to try to project this aura that she's invincible. It's inevitable that she's going to win. We're finally going to have the first female president. You might as well sit this one out. This is going to happen. It's our time. And it's nonsense. It's not going to happen. Donald Trump is 11 points better than he was in approval index. Over at Real Clear Politics, they've got all sorts of great data that they update on a daily basis. And one of the things that I have focused on above all else is they have an approval index. And the approval index is the candidate on the Republican side, in this case Trump, his approval versus his minus his disapproval. And you compare that to whoever he's running against, whether it was Joe Biden at the time or whether it's Kamala Harris now. In 2020, going into the final week of the election, Joe Biden had a 17.8% lead on personal approval over Donald Trump. Now, how did that manifest itself? Donald Trump generated 74.5 million votes, roughly, for him for president in 2020, which would have, in other normal universe, been an all-time record, were it not for his unfavorability also generating 81 million votes against him. And that was the final margin. This time around, Kamala Harris is, according to the averages, still up by about 7% in favorability over Donald Trump. But he's 11 points better. The engine, if you will, for the anti-Trump turnout model is just not there in the same strength this time. And to put a capstone on that, not even included yet in the Real Clear Politics averages, Fox News' poll that they released over the weekend, which showed Trump with a 1 or 2 point national lead, his approval number in that, he's only off 2 points to Kamala Harris. They've got the same approval. He has 2 points more disapproval than she does, but they've got it within two now. And Steve Kornacki over on MSNBC, when NBC released their polling on Meet the Press over the weekend, they have it as a straight up tie on approval.
Right.
So if that's the case, if Donald Trump is just as either popular or unpopular, choose your word, as Kamala Harris is. And that's really a straight up metric. You can't point to me that you're going to have an 81 million vote turnout against Donald Trump this time.
No, I think that's sound math and reasoning. And if you even look at where they are, I think you and I have even talked about this. They do the This Day in History, October 17th. The national polling right now, in 2016, Hillary Clinton was up 7 points. In 2020, Biden was up 9 points. This time, Harris is up 1.5. If she doesn't grow that, she's going to lose.
And tell me what is out there in the next 2 weeks for her to change the narrative and start putting a string together. Yahya Sinwar got whacked overnight, and she was forced to do a hostage video today saying,
"Oh, I saw that.
Well, yeah, he's dead. I guess that's a good thing, and I'm sure glad we helped." Who's the we, Kamala? I mean, it's just insane what she's trying to come out with.
Yeah, they put her up there to try, you know, to make her look presidential. And by the way, did you hear Biden today?
I did.
So we're letting him off the hook, you know, because he's out the door. But listen to this.
We gave Medicare the power of cancer drugs. Excuse me.
We ain't going back.
She beat Trump so badly in the debate, he's scared to death to meet her again.
Dwayne ain't going back there. Just that's what Uncle Joe says. Wow. It's time, isn't it?
It's not happening this time. And honestly, you can see it in the faces. You can hear it in the voices of the pundits. Everybody on the left is trying to put a happy face and try to stem the tide a little bit. But they know it's not happening. They know it's not happening. You saw if we could only lip sync or read what was going on, lip read what was going on. At Ethel Kennedy's memorial service, you saw Barack Obama talking to Joe Biden and giving him an earful, right? If only we could be a fly on the wall in that room. But
that would be fascinating. Hey, did you hear, I played this a little bit today and yesterday, did you hear the Halperin cuts from Tucker's podcast?
It is hysterical that you're bringing this up. I bet I know which parts you're talking about. Are you talking about what happens next?
Well, he was talking about how we're going to have the biggest mental health crisis, you know, if Trump wins. Now, look, what I said is I think it's a little hyperbolic. On the other hand, I think he's onto something just because the TDS level is so high.
He could. I hope he's hyperbolic. But here's the problem. And I wrote this at Hot Air before the primaries even got going. This goes way back. I've had this opinion for a while. My concern was not always the election, but for what happens next. Because here's the thing. If you are somebody who gets their news from MSNBC and or CNN, and all you are fed 24/7 is that Trump's election threatens the very existence of the republic itself.
Right.
Democracy itself is on the line. If you truly believe that, and that is what your inner fear is, then what lengths will you not go to make sure that doesn't happen?
And well, that's
if
right.
Trump wins, people are going to lose their, they're just going to lose their.
Dwayne, I think they are. I think it could. That's where I think that Halperin might be onto something there. We're out of time. We're going to visit one more time before this election in a couple weeks. How does that sound?
I look forward to it as always.
Thank you. I'm
always here, happy to represent Team Optimism.
And we need that. We need more optimism. Dwayne Patterson, we'll have you back. Hey, we're going to wrap things up for this hour in just a couple of minutes. We'll take you into the 4 o'clock hour. We got Suze News and Paul Morrow from Fox News and founder of the opsdesk.org. Tomorrow, of course, it's a Reardon Roundtable. A few days ago, and I put this at the top of the Twitter page. So if you follow me at Mark Reardon KFTK, or you can just kind of pop on there. And at the top, they do this thing where you can pin a tweet. And that's where I put the information about the Greece trip. And I just started talking about it on Monday. And I don't even know if I've mentioned it since. We had a fair amount of interest. And here's the deal on this. I took a bunch of listeners to Spain a year and a half ago. We had a lot more room on that trip than we do this trip. So we had, you know, 30 plus listeners that were with us in Spain. And this is going to be less than this because it's a very small cruise ship, because you're not cruising and doing all your stuff on the water, you're island hopping. So we start in Athens, and then you go to some of the other great islands, and you basically board the ship at night, maybe have dinner, and then you wake up at your next, you know, destination.
I love that. I did that for a bike trip one time. It was great.
Day three is the Argolis region. I'm going to learn a lot of this because I don't know much about Greece. On day four, it's Napolio, N-A-F-P-L-I-O. I'm probably pronouncing all these things wrong. I'm going to get a good education. So this is the end of April, beginning of May. April 27th, we leave from St. Louis. We fly to Athens. We go to Lufthansa. So we go to Germany first. That's what we took when we went to Spain. And, you know, you visit the island of Syros. You visit Amorgos. You visit Rhodes. You visit Santorini, which is, you know, the whitewashed wonder. Beautiful. And then Milos on day 10. And then we come back on day 11 and you get home. But we don't think about coming home. We want to think about doing this trip. So if you're interested, you can go to defineddestinations.com. You'll see it on the front page. It'll say Discover Ancient Greece on a Small Ship Cruise, April 27th to May 7th. Or you can just go to that Twitter page and put a deposit down because, look, we're going to sell this thing out. I think we only have 7 cabins left. I got some people that went to Spain with me, Rick and Den from Las Vegas. They're going. He already put his deposit down. My friend Fitz and Karen here likely going. We got some people from the Spain trip, and then 2 other listeners have reached out. So we may only have like 5 cabins left. The point is, if you're at least a little interested, please please check out the information. One of the big selling points for me, at least, is, and I've tried to explain this before, I went with Mike Kenny when he worked with a different company. He started his own company, Defined Destinations. But Mike took a group of listeners when I was on CamelX to Italy in 2011, and it was fantastic. And I thought, you know what, this guy, he made it special. He was such a good tour guide. He made it really special. He'll do that. I know he did that in Spain because we experienced it. He's going to do that in Greece next year. We're going to have a great time. Jump on board, defineddestinations.com.
Get more at 971talk.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.